Hello, welcome to Sonic Tonic. I'm Greg Perret, and I'm extending a very warm welcome to all of you who are listening. I'll be bringing you music, interviews, and special features from the world of jazz and blues. This podcast is brought to you by the California Jazz Foundation. It's a nonprofit that assists California musicians who have given their lives to this music but have fallen on rough times. Our podcast will reflect the talent, the journeys, and the insights of a wide range of musical artists. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a Sonic Tonic. I love that. It's called A Little Bit. It's a vocalization combined with computer technology to create a very fascinating sonic interlude. It was composed, programmed, and performed by Sidney Jacobs for his new CD, If I Were Your Woman. Now, Sidney is a jazz vocalist, a jazz composer, and he is my guest for this Sonic Tonic episode entitled A Road Less Traveled. Now, one of the tracks on Sidney's new CD is called Weave the Tale. I think it really sums up Sidney's talent and creativity, and I'll let him explain the title. So I'm going to play that track, which for me is extremely impressive because every note was composed and rehearsed ahead of time. Nothing was improvised on the spot. But before I do that, here's the backstory. In 2016, I was at a venue called the Jazz Salon in downtown Los Angeles. It was a place where jazz artists were welcome to sit in, and it soon became a mecca for new and established performers. This particular night, I was sitting in on guitar when my dear friend Kathy Siegel Garcia, a great vocalist in her own right, invited up another vocalist to sing. That singer was Sidney Jacobs. I gotta tell you, I was completely blown away by the richness of his voice and his outstanding ability to emotionally convey the song to the audience. I was really quite impressed and moved, as was everyone else in the room. Okay, so we exchanged information, and I soon became involved in a CD he was working on. That's when I realized how inventive he was as a composer. The other thing that's amazing about Sidney, he's not an instrumentalist. He has an excellent ear for melody, for harmony, and his voice is an amazing instrument. So what he did, he mastered computer technology to craft the melodies and harmonies that are in his heart and soul. This process of his has earned him the respect of some of the finest jazz musicians on the planet. As a result, they have helped him hone those ideas and communicate them to musicians who are jazz instrumentalists. Okay, enough of my blah blah, I'm going to play Weave the Tale. Ah, by the way, you can Google Weave the Tale by Sidney Jacobs. Now, Tail is T-A-I-L, Sidney is S-I-D-N-E-Y, and you can see an outstanding video performance of that track. Okay, just one more thing. The players involved on the recording are Gene Coy on drums, Solomon Dorsey on bass, Josh Johnson on alto, Chris Lawrence and Nolan Shaheed on trumpet, Josh Nelson on piano, Joaquin Tofgard on trombone, and Ricky Woodard on tenor. Weave the Tale by Sidney Jacobs. Bam 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 b That sounded like a little extracurricular activity at the end of that take. Okay, here's my interview with Sydney Jacobs on May 31st of 2022. Hey, Sydney, how you doing?
I'm good.
I'd like to start this interview off by talking about your creative process. I've always considered you a very innovative jazz artist, and the journey you take from inspiration to completion, I really find it fascinating.
Sure, yeah. Not too many people are thinking about my process. Sure, I'd love to talk to you about it.
Yeah, that would be great. I remember when I first met you and we started working together, I would come over to your place.
Right.
Yeah, your setup seemed very involved in how you had your computer and mic set up and how you were structuring your vocals. Yeah, so give us some insights.
Sure. Well, I sit down at my computer. I sit down at my keyboard, which is attached to the computer. It depends on the style of song that I'm trying to do. So there's usually like a few ways that I can get into creating. One is like I have a melody that I've been working on in my head. And if that's the case, then I'll sit down and I'll sing that in a key that I think is going to be appropriate. And then I try to figure out what chords go behind it. And then, you know, it's just kind of an organic process how the song starts to blossom or not. Right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
How many times have, you know, you spend a dozen hours on something and then you look at it and you're like, nah.
Oh, I get it.
You know, and then I hit the delete button. But if it's working, then I'll start to round out the music myself to my abilities. I'm not a player, you know, I can barely get by, but I got a couple of chords. So I'll try to fit the chord that feels correct to me or find it. And then I'll go back through and generally I'll start to work on the rhythm track. So I'll work on the kick, the snare, the hi-hat, and then the cymbals, toms. And then I'll go in and I'll fill that out with the bass line.
Yeah. Well, knowing how you construct your tunes, when you sent me the link to your latest project, I was really impressed with Weave the Tail. So that's T-A-I-L, right?
Yeah, it's just a play on words.
Well, anybody listening to it would say it sounds ad-lib, but after watching you work, I know you composed every note ahead of time. Yeah, and I mean, listening to you and Ricky Woodard perform all those lines in unison, man, that was amazing.
Love him. Everything is composed all the way through on that song.
Wow.
So I did the horns. I arranged the horns. I had Josh Nelson kind of clean up some, you know, some rubbing notes and some conflict. But I would say about 98% of it I wrote. The bass line is all written out. Everything is written. When I say written out, for me, that means that everything is played out, and then I'll have somebody transcribe it.
Yeah, that track is killer. I played it at the beginning of the podcast.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
So I know Josh Nelson, Ricky Woodard, Nolan Shaheed, and Gene Coy. I know Gene from the Ryan Cross days.
Man, what a cat.
Yeah, so what's the story on the other musicians?
Let me see. Nolan introduced me to you.
Yep.
And you've introduced me to a bunch of cats. I mean, you're like, man, you're like my godfather. You know? You might not know that, but you are. You guys are just like incredible supports underneath my wings, you know.
Well, Sydney, you're a great guy and an amazing artist.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm trying. Let me see. On that song, we have Gene, who I just can't say enough about his drumming and his creativity. Obviously, Josh Nelson. I would love to play with him every day. So I asked Gene who would he like to record with on the album. And I mean, it took him less than 20 seconds to send back this cat by the name of Solomon Dorsey, bass player.
Yeah, he's great.
I figure, you know, bass and drums, they're married. So
yeah.
So I want to find out who the drummer really digs. He's a cat out of New York that's been in Los Angeles for a while. I didn't even know who he was. He's been playing with a bunch of cats out of New York. Jose James, a very noted jazz singer, kind of pop singer. And so when I went online to check him out, he's this tremendous bassist and also a like frighteningly good singer. So I asked him, he heard some of my demos and he said, yeah, I'm in. So I got him. Josh Johnson is an alto player that played all on the first CD that you're all on, First Man. He's now the musical director for Leon Bridges, who's like a pop blues singer, very, very big.
Yeah, when I read the credits, there was another guy on trumpet outside of Nolan. His last name was Lawrence.
Chris Lawrence. Chris Lawrence is a cat been playing with him for since I got into it in like 2015. He's kind of been one of the trumpeters. I use him and Nolan, and he has this burning solo on "If I Were Your Woman."
All
man.
Right,
so he's just ripping through the solo. It was initially it was going to be a guitar solo, but I didn't have any guitar other than you on the album, and yours is this acoustic. So Chris Lawrence on trumpet. And Joachim Tofgaard on trombone.
Ah, the trombone, one of my favorite instruments. It really fills out the horn section.
Oh, so underrated, man. And it's such a beautiful instrument. So many rich colors, and it just adds so much to any musical, you know, any music that you're doing,
right.
Man, you can put a trombone in, it's just gonna add.
Absolutely. So, Sydney, tell us about the new CD. What's up with that?
It will be released, I'm laughing because I'm still like struggling through all the distribution stuff. It's going to be released this Friday. At least we'll be going out to radio stations and stuff this week.
Okay. So for our audience, give a date.
June 3rd, which is Friday.
Of 2022.
Yeah. It could be June 10th, but I'm going to go ahead and say June 3rd. It all depends. But yeah, it'll be out soon. And then I'll also be like Weave the Tale. I have this beautiful video that I shot for it.
Yeah, I saw the video. So for all of you out there, Google Weave the Tale, W-E-A-V-E, the Tale, T-A-I-L, by Sydney Jacobs, S-I-D-N-E-Y, J-A-C-O-B-S. You have to watch this video. It's shot in black and white. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I'm really, really proud of it.
Yeah, who filmed it?
A good friend of mine who I met on the golf course. as I've met so many good friends. His name is Patrick Stewart, and we just got paired together. Every once in a while, I'll meet somebody, and we just hit it off. I had no idea what he did. He had no idea what I did. We're just talking and talking and talking. And then I come to find out that he's like this big-time cinematographer, director, all on HBO. And he's also an amateur musician.
Oh, okay.
We collaborated on some stuff and basically volunteered to do that video. And, man, what a learning experience it was, just being on set with him and seeing how he worked.
Yeah, so can people access it any other way other than Google?
It's on my YouTube page if you want to go there.
Okay, wonderful. Sydney, I know you made your living in another profession. So was music always a part of your life, or was it something you came to later in life around the time I met you in 2016?
Yeah, well, that is a process. I actually did start in music, and then I got married and had some kids.
Oh, yeah.
And you know where that's going.
Yep.
As I needed to make some money, and my music really wasn't paying the bills a lot. I needed more. Went back to school and got several advanced degrees in psychology, and ended up working over 20 years as an educational psychologist. The only time I actually stopped doing music was when I was going to school for those number of years. Saddest years of my life, Greg, not being around music. And when I was able to get back to it, I just started singing in the church and singing in choirs and leading choirs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm curious. You said it was the saddest time of your life. So do you think that the time off from music made you appreciate it more when you got back into it? And was your passion and commitment greater?
It was like your best girlfriend that somehow you broke up with, and then you reunite. And maybe when you were going out with her before, you kind of took some things for granted.
Yeah.
And when you see her again, you're just clinging onto her, you know, and wanting to know everything about her. But it wasn't professional at that point. It was just me writing music.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe I can become a songwriter, you know, professionally, since I was writing across genre. And I really just love to write music. And then I released an album in, I think it was 2009. And that was just me literally in my closet, you know, doing some art. But I had all these songs, and friends are like, what are you doing with this music? And I'm like, I'm just writing it, you know, I'm just writing it because I have to write it. And they said, well, put an album together. And this was just around the time when like CD Baby was coming online and you could do it yourself. So I did. And then from there, I realized, well, I do need to be singing more, and I love singing jazz. And believe it or not, at that time, I'd never sung with like a trio.
Wow.
You know, I had never sung with an upright bass or, you know.
Wow. What year was this?
That was 2015, man. That was like the year before I met you. And I said, you're not getting any younger. Do the music that you listen to and that you love. But I couldn't really write that music, and that's probably why I wasn't doing it. I met Kathy Siegel Garcia, took some lessons from her, and basically got some confidence from her. And then I went to the Stanford Jazz Camp just to see if I had the chops to do it, because I didn't really know if I did. And Madeline Eastman, a wonderful singer in the Bay Area, kind of took me aside and said, hey, what are you doing? You know, you need to be doing this music. And that was really like the thing that gave me the confidence to start writing in the genre.
Well, Sydney, as a jazz artist, you check all the boxes in my book. You've got a great ear, a great voice. You're a composer and improviser of the highest caliber. And even though you say you're not an instrumentalist, it obviously hasn't stopped you from turning out some great music.
Oh, man. I gotta talk to you more often, right? Such kind words. You know, there's this thing, you know, that's hit the popular American zeitgeist called imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, I think a great many people suffer from that. I certainly was. You know, when you listen to music, you're not listening to like people that are okay. You're listening to the best cats that you can find.
Oh yeah.
And so I can't play the piano for anything. You know, I'm not really schooled in composition. I just have all this music in my head. I'm compelled to get out, whether I'm getting paid to do it or not. It just has to come out. So that was a deep dive, man. And you helped so much. You know, you took me aside and held my hand and told me where my songs were working and where they weren't working, and what you understood and what you didn't understand. And, you know, you and Nolan and Ricky and Mark Massey and Josh Nelson, you know, this is like the best in the game were schooling me.
Well, you know, Sydney, it works two ways. You know, you've been around some very, very talented and supportive musicians. Of the people you mentioned, I know Josh Nelson, Ricky Woodard, Nolan Shaheed, and Kathy Siegel Garcia. I feel they've been there for you because they recognized your talent and your commitment.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. I'm really trying to hone the craft and learn from you guys and just get better. I actually went back and listened to First Man with the song that you're, in fact, you open it up. You open it up with that guitar riff, that African guitar riff. Right? I went back and listened to the album. I hadn't listened to it in a while. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm getting better, you know, because I compared it to this album coming out, If I Were Your Woman. And I'm like, okay, well, you are improving, both as a writer and as a singer. So I'm just trying to get better, man. I don't know where I stand on any of that. I'm just trying to put my best stuff out every time, and, you know, and not let my ego and pride sit in. And I go to the cats that really know what's up, and I say, hey, you know, help me out with this song.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy, yeah, that's the process. I mean, we're always reflecting and bouncing off the people we trust. The end result is just another stepping stone, though, on the journey, and it's right. All about the journey.
Oh, you know, you just pinned what I said to my wife yesterday in talking about this. She was saying, you know, what are your long-term goals? And I said, my long-term goals haven't changed. You know, I have this vision board, this dream for myself, but I said, I have to get away from my goals and embrace the journey.
Yep.
Because when I'm just looking at my goals, I get frustrated because I'm not at the place where I think I should be. And I also forget about where I just was 6 years ago. And so I got to embrace just the beauty. And the best cast that I've talked to and the cast that I'm really inspired and have been doing it, you know, for, you know, decades, that's seems to be the mindset that they take. It's just like, hey, it's one day at a time. I'm enjoying this ride. I'm enjoying the song. I'm enjoying this recording. And if it goes somewhere, it goes somewhere. But if not, I still have the joy in it. And sometimes, you know, when you're ambitious, as, you know, I'm just now admitting that I am, ambition can kind of blind beauty. You know, it can kind of blind accomplishment and the journey. Because you can get focused on a goal, but you never get to the goal. And I'm starting to realize that.
Yeah, we just have to keep writing and creating a body of work.
Oh, you know, I heard one of my favorite songwriters and singers of all time, James Taylor. He was saying, kind of to this question, he was saying, I think I've written 7 songs in my life.
Yeah.
And I knew immediately what he was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, and I knew it just from listening to him and certainly listening to myself. You have these kind of lanes that you feel good and you'll write a song, you'll write another song. It's similar. It's not quite the same, you know, and he has 7 of those lanes. And I thought that was just like a really creative way of saying it. But yeah, I'm just reaching, man. Just reaching.
Well, Sydney, keep reaching. Stay curious.
Do you, as a composer, do you find that you have to take breaks, or you'll take a sabbatical, and then when you come back, you're kind of recharged and you have more ideas?
Yeah, I think that's a natural thing. And, you know, everyone deals with it differently. For me, having that initial inspiration is very exciting. The development of the idea, though, I compare to having temporary insanity, because I personally become obsessed with that part of the process. But once I get it to where it can stand on its own 2 feet, I need a break. And it is easier for me now to find balance between being totally invested and simply resting. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I think I'm just getting to that point. I used to think, like, you know, both First Man and now If I Were Your Woman, they kind of came out in fevers, you know. I just was writing, I don't know how many hours a day, and just boom, 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 hitting song. And, you know, writing one song and in the middle of it, another song would come and I'd have to set that aside. And then I'm done with the project And then I feel like I don't have anything else to say. And that has scared me in the past. It's like, well, okay, maybe that was it. Maybe I've got to go back to writing the same songs now. But then I'll take a break. I'll get away from the keyboard and I'll get away from music. And when I come back to it, it seems like, you know, oh, I have something else to say. And I'm just now trusting that, you know, that that muse will return when I need her.
Yeah. Well, the key word there is trust. I'm glad to hear you say that because good ideas never go away, man. Plus, it sounds like you've got a good support system in place to help you through the development process.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to your latest project.
Sure.
There's a tune called Conversations with Mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it later. What's the story on that track?
So I had a lot of stuff going on preceding the pandemic. One of them was that I was taking care of my ailing mother and my ailing aunt. And my aunt passed in 2018.
Yeah, I remember that.
They were living together. And then my mom came to live with me. And she was 96 when she passed. So, you know, kind of knowing what was coming, I started recording conversations with her. Cognitively, she was kind of like digressing, you know, almost daily. So I just kind of wanted to get stories out. I wanted to resolve some family issues that we had. So we had many, many conversations when she was living with me. And it's just the first man was a tribute to my sister who passed in 2016. And my mom, she passed right as the pandemic started in March of 2020. So I had hours and hours of these recordings and I wanted to kind of encapsulate them. So my solution to that was, instead of like having these recordings be really clear to the ear and you can understand everything that was said, I did it in a way that it's obscured, more like our memories become obscured over the course of time, but you still have the essence of what was there. And so that was that. And then she also has the very last word on the album.
Wow, what a creative tribute. You know, I also noticed that you were working with Ron Fourier on that track. I mean, that's an old buddy of mine from the Diana Ross days. Yeah, that's a fun guy.
Yeah, man. Ron is a great one. Well, he's the musical director of The Fifth. What a talent he is.
Oh, man, tremendous talent.
Ron is something else, man. I spend a lot of time with Ron on the road now. I credit him as a co-producer on this because he, you know, he's so creative. He's incredibly musical, but he's also like super technical. You know, he knows his way around the studio like the back of his hand.
Right.
He knows his music history. You know, he used to compose for Nelson Riddle. So, you know, all of that is a given. And yeah, he helped a great deal, especially with the sonic landscapes, because he's so technical and a true keyboard player.
Yeah, well, when you see him, give him a shout out for me. I love that guy.
I will, and his dad. His dad is great too.
Yeah, now there's a tune called Been So Long. Is that an original?
No, so the conceit of the album was my wife's idea. Years ago when I was performing in LA, I did a Nina Freelon version of I Feel Pretty. It was a very robust version of that song, and it just killed, you know, folks really liked it. So when I was thinking of, like, what am I going to do on this next album, my wife said, why don't you just do a bunch of songs associated with female singers that guys aren't, you know, you're not used to hearing their voices. So most of the songs that aren't original are of that nature. I have a Aretha Franklin song, I have a Gladys Knight song, On a Clear Day. I Like a Star, which is like one of my favorite romantic songs. So Been So Long is actually Anita Baker. And it's, you know, in the R&B mode, but I have it with upright and piano. So kind of changing around a little bit. My whole thing is like, how do you ever do Until You Come Back to Me after hearing Aretha Franklin do it? There's no reason to do it. You know, so the only reason that I could find to kind of do some of these songs is if I kind of put them in a prism and change them a little bit.
Yeah, well, that speaks to the concept of a musical artist owning their work and being truly invested in it, whether it's a cover or an original. Yeah, that's like when John Coltrane did his version of the Broadway tune, My Favorite Things. I mean, his rendition became a classic and absolutely stands alone. When you did those covers on your record, man, you were definitely owning your interpretations.
Yeah, man, there's no reason to do it if you don't own it.
Exactly.
Though I did Coltrane a little bit when doing My Favorite Things on the First Man album. I took some of his form and I left the bridge until very late in the song. But otherwise, you know, I mean, might as well listen to who sang that, Julie Andrews? Some of the older heads that have listened to it are like, wow, why did you change that up? You know, so it's one thing if you like it or not, that's cool. You know, you don't want, I don't want to put anything out that's going to be indifferent. I'd rather you hate it than to be indifferent to it.
Well, well said. Okay, Sydney, this has been a great interview, man. Is there anything more you'd like to say about your record?
It will be online either the 10th or the 5th. I think I'm hoping for the 5th, but I'm also going to post, as is the way now, modernly, most of the songs on my YouTube page. So, you know, just appreciate if folks go by and listen. Hopefully they like what they hear.
Well, I think they will. And Sydney, keep me posted when you're performing again.
Yeah, that's the next thing for me, is to get back out on my own. I've been so busy, you know, kind of crisscrossing the country with the fifth and working on this album that I really haven't been performing live, but I miss it so much.
Well, Sydney, you have all my respect and support, my friend. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you, man. I love you so much, Greg. Thank you so much for the support, and you know, we'll keep talking, and we'll get back out there together on the stage too.
All right, Sydney, take care.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Again, that interview with Sydney Jacobs took place on May 31st of 2022. Next up is a tune called Light. Again, it's a Sydney Jacobs original.
Things ain't right, but when you're doing your thing, it's out of sight. Bernice said I should let it out. She said the music makes her want to shout. Bring that spirit, help someone get through. Do your thing, boy, there is no doubt. Cause it's gonna be alright. Back in line, they say, who do you think you are? You're fooling yourself, you won't get very far. It's easy to just let them win and tell yourself that no good seeds to sow. But in the end, nobody will care if you do your thing or if you don't. So chasing angels for good men. forward always, especially when days are cloudy. Back down, never chasing angels for good measure, for forever.
Nice, nice. So to wrap it up, I'm going to play Conversations with Mom. This is the track we spoke about earlier in the interview. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Sonic Tonic. Again, thank you for listening to Sonic Tonic, brought to you by the California Jazz Foundation. Please visit our website at californiajazzfoundation.org and find out how you can make a difference in the life of a musician in need. Until the next one, this is Greg Perret wishing you all the best.